and welcome to Camino Talks. I'm Caitlin from Follow the Camino, and today I'm joined by the two wonderful folks who are behind the Pilgrim Lost podcast. So that's Kari and Tony. So thank you so much to you two for joining me today. Now, you've both done Caminos, which is how you kind of got inspired to start doing what you're doing now. So I'd love if you could both just tell me a little bit about yourselves and how you ended up connected to the Camino.
Okay, Kari, go first.
Want me to go first? Tony's connection sort of came from my experience, so we'll start with me.
I'm her student of the Camino.
My student. I'm trying to get as many students on the Camino as possible. So I first heard about the Camino when I lived in Spain in 95, when I was in college, and heard about it it was just something I living there, I heard about it, but it seemed very strange. I never thought, oh, I should do this. I just thought, well, that's an interesting thing, a pilgrimage. So fast forward to many years later, it was 2013, and I was in the middle of a really hard divorce and was in the process of separation. And a good friend of my sister invited us to see, I'm sure you're going to know what the movie is, The Way. So it was in just little independent theaters at the time. And so we went and saw The Way, and we walked out of the theater, and I looked at my sister and I said, we need to do this. And she agreed with me. She had also lived in Spain in college. She was really the reason I'd gone to Spain in the first place, because of her experience. So we started planning, and we did about a year and a half of walking. And because I was in the middle of the process of my divorce, we didn't know exactly when we were going to be able to go. So that said, we ended up starting the Camino May 1st of 2013. And we walked from Saint-Jean to Santiago. My sister actually continued on to Finisterre on that particular trip. I had some foot injuries, so I was unable to continue. But we walked it in 40 days. And it's pretty average. We weren't fast. We weren't terribly slow. But we have the dubious distinction of being the last people out of the albergue every single morning. So we literally, I remember one particular moment, we actually got chased out of a monastery by a nun with a broom. So my sister was like hopping with one boot on, and we were like trying, we're like, wait, hold on, come on, we just woke up. So that particular Camino, I've actually done the Camino twice. I've done the Portuguese Camino in 2015. But that first one was just really epically life-changing for me in a myriad of ways. But those are kind of the logistics of my first Camino. Tony, why don't you jump in and say, we'll trade back and forth so I don't ramble on.
Yeah, so Kari and I are old friends. Actually, her ex-husband and I are really old friends. And our friendship goes back 20 years. So when she was going through the divorce and then went on the Camino, my wife and I, we were really involved in that, in the sense of being friends and hearing about how the process was. And so I heard about her preparations, and I heard a lot when she got back. And that was really my big introduction to the Camino as something that you can actually do. And we're here on the West Coast of North America. So, you know, we're a ways away from the Camino. And even though I kind of traffic in the world of spiritual extremism and adventures and loving things, you know, like, I'm just going to go on this big pilgrimage. Like, that's kind of something that I should naturally know something about, for somehow I just didn't. And so Kari regaled me with the transformative power of her walk, and I was overcome with envy, as I can be at times. And so it was it 2018 or 2017? I can't remember now.
I think it was 2017, because
I think it's 17.
And we actually really connected after I came back from my travels the second time. When I took a year, a year and a half and went and traveled. And that was when I had done my second Camino, the Portuguese Camino. And so that was really when we started to connect. So, right. So I had a couple experiences that at this point that I was sharing with Tony. And Tony has this great ability, you know, like my sister and I are like, we're going to plan and we're going to walk for a year and a half and really make sure. And my sister is a planner and an amazing planner, you know. What is the exact best way to get to this town? And Tony is the antithesis, like the antithesis. Like, I think I'll go tomorrow. I don't need anything, do I? Do I need a book or guidebook? Nah, it'll be fine.
So I'm like, Kari, so what do I need? She gives me this like, well, here's the minimal list you need. I just made sure I had her list, put it in a backpack. I got the least expensive ticket I could find was into Lyon, France. Flying to Lyon, just like, I lived in Europe in my 20s. I'll just figure out how to get to this Saint Jean Pied de Port. I'll figure that out, you know? And so, of course, all this is just hubris and foolishness. And so it took me 3 days to sort of hitchhike my way and buses just to get to the trailhead there for the French Way. And I came in late morning, found the pilgrim office, really hadn't done a ton of training. I'd done a little bit of walking for maybe a month before. And I just, I hadn't eaten a real meal in 3 days. And I just got my stamp and just walked. I said, where's the trailhead? She pointed me and I just walked out of town. No reservation, no idea where I was going. I'm just going to start walking. Like, how hard could it be? I mean, thousands of people do this every year. I would not recommend this particular philosophy for people going by and large. And so it took me 29 days. I started also on May 1st, ironically, and 29 days to walk into Santiago.
Wow, that's pretty quick. 29 days.
Tony's a very fast walker. And and you just go. You get your music on and you go.
I love the trudge though. Eye on the horizon, power through.
Yeah. And fair enough. Tall. We're both 6'3", right?
Ish.
So we got the long legs. But Tony is definitely a faster walker than I am. So one of the things that was really revolutionary for me about the Camino was I've been an artist my whole life, but very kind of, you know, back burner-ish. And I decided to take, I had taken a class. One of the things about in the process of my, I think any process where you're going through something where you're kind of reevaluating your life, and divorce is one of those processes. I really wanted to make art more of a priority in my life. So I had taken a class. I've never really taken much, didn't take it in college, was really dissuaded from trying to pursue that as a career by my parents. And so at this moment in time, I had just turned 40 and I'm like, I'm changing the things that I want to change at this moment in time. So I took a sketchbook and a little tiny kit of art supplies. And I thought, well, maybe I'll paint on the Camino and maybe I won't. I really didn't have any intentions of doing anything specific. Because I'd taken that class, I had the supplies and I thought, well, maybe I'll do it. Well, so my sister is a much slower walker than me. And so she and I would walk, we'd start out in the morning. And this happened on the very first day. I naturally go faster than she does. And we actually had made this big decision that we weren't going to take anything, we weren't going to take our phones with us. So we left everything digital at home. So we basically like found an internet cafe, which is kind of crazy in 2013, and like emailed our parents. We're like, we're here. We'll email you when we cross the Pyrenees, and then we'll email you when we hit Santiago. And that was it. That was all the communication. It was a revolutionary thing. So we didn't have a way to communicate on the path. So basically, if I got to the destination before she did, I would have to sit down. I'd grab my requisite glass of wine and I started drawing that very first day just because I was waiting for her to come. And so this started a rhythm every single day where we would walk together in the morning and then we'd have lunch together. And then I would sort of take off in my own pace and then end up at, you know, whatever place. She didn't know which albergue, you know, we decided on one, but it could have been, you know, completo and full. So I might have to go find something in town. So I would go find it, you know, grab our bunks, then come back to the Camino and sit down wherever I knew that she would pass me. So it was very, you know, this very analog way of like trying to do the Camino. But it was fascinating because she's like, I'm your muse. If I hadn't been slow, you never would have started these drawings. So I ended up, Caitlin, with 40 plus drawings. You know, I drew every day, I ended up drawing. And it was just this magical way for me. For the first time, I really felt like I was being present in the moment. And that really changed how I looked at the world. And it really changed how I thought about art. Previously, art really was something I thought, you know, I had to come up with something, you know, important to say or to communicate. And this was just really capturing what was directly in front of me, what was ordinary. You know, it could have been a cup of coffee. And I actually wasn't drawn to capture like the cathedral. I was more drawn to capture like the cup of coffee or the pastry. There's a lot of food drawings, or just the cracked wall. You know, it wasn't this beautiful magical thing. It was really the ordinary things of the Camino. So that changed how I viewed art. And when I came back from the Camino, I ever since then have continued to draw in that manner and really trying to capture kind of ordinary things, the beauty of ordinary things. And so now I do classes, I do, my art is really geared towards that. And because of that, I ended up quitting my, long story short, I bet I ended up quitting my corporate job and taking a year and a half to go travel and draw and blog and write. And then I came back from that trip wanting to really still be able to do those things. So I ended up building a tiny house so that my expenses would be really low. And then I would be able to continue to put a lot of my energy towards my creative ventures. So that's kind of a nutshell version, but really all of that started on the Camino. And it started because I just was capturing the ordinary things in front of me, which ties a lot back into, you know, Pilgrim Lost and how we ended up getting there.
Amazing. Yeah. And that is a beautiful story. It's very cool that you've managed to sort of hone in on what matters to you while you were doing the Camino. It's actually a story, and I'm sure that through your podcast, you've talked to other people who've had a similar sort of awakening, a realization while they were doing it, that wasn't necessarily one that they thought they would come to. I think that's one of the amazing things about the Camino is that so many people find something they've never looked for. You're going with one thing in mind, you come back with something totally different.
It's interesting because I ended up taking those drawings and I published a book called The Art of Walking, which I sell on my website, carigale.com. But the idea of the draw of it, I continue to sell these books. People are, I think as, and I mean, and Tony can attest to this, that once you've engaged in the Camino, there is just this thirst for more. There's this thirst for more of what that was, and trying to even distill down what it was. That's part of the reason that Tony and I started having those conversations after his Camino. What was it specifically about our Caminos that was so, so transformative? So Tony, when you came back from your Camino, I know that you had a couple reasons that you went, because you were also kind of researching it for a novel, right?
Actually, no.
No? Am I wrong about that?
I had interviewed you about the Camino because I was writing this novel and I needed some information on Europe for my character. But so I'm a writer by trade. I mean, I write books, and I actually sort of had the opposite experience of Kari in that I went on the Camino. I sort of chose to not have any goals for it. Like, I don't want to sort of set expectations that something magical is going to happen, you know, just more be receptive. But my one was I wasn't going to write. on the Camino. I wasn't going to try and figure out, is there a book here? Is there a something I can help my career? Not that Kari was saying that at all, but for me, with my orientation, I was like, I just don't want to do that. I want to put all the sort of monetizing or the productivity questions that have so dogged my life. You know, am I being productive? Am I helping my future? Am I improving my resume right now with what I'm doing or whatever? And I just want to take all that BS questions and throw them in the fire and just go, I'm just going to walk. I'm going to take the leash off my soul and just walk. And whatever happens, happens. And if the divine wants to show up in some particular way, I'm ready. Or if relationships want to show up in a certain way, I'm ready. If the attic of my soul and all those unpacked boxes from my past that I've stuck away and tried to forget about, if my soul wants to go into the attic and start to work through some of my old boxes and some of my old photos and some of my old memories and process, then let that happen. But I don't want to prescribe any of it. So I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a list of goals. I didn't have like, these are things I want to ponder while I'm on the Camino, or here's. And part of that was because I wasn't in a great place emotionally. I think I was in a place where I was dealing with a lot of loss and several deaths, and was dealing with some disillusionment about my place in the world. And so I was just sort of done with the American productivity story, and wanted to just go be on an ancient road with global citizens, without expectations, and place my feet in the foot pads of millions of other pilgrims and share that mystically with them, and come what may.
That's really interesting.
Go ahead, Caitlin.
We interviewed John Brierley a little while ago, who's, you know, the guy when it comes to Camino.
Well, Tony wouldn't know who he was because he didn't have a book.
That's what I was explaining.
He's a guidebook writer, Tony.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's kind of well known or something. And John did a whole piece. It was kind of unplanned, but he just started talking, and it ended up just being a semi monologue about how we need to slow down, and we need to disconnect, and we need to stop trying to force ourselves into more and more productivity. And it's so important, and it is something that a lot of people just don't feel like they can do that in their normal life. And so they do take that step onto the Camino into something absurd in many people's eyes, something so extreme and so different to what their normal life is, because it is that doorway into, it's a physical step on a physical journey that represents whatever's going to happen on the inside. And you're not going in a car, you're not going fast, you're going as fast as your legs take you, however long or short they may be.
That's right. I actually was going to say, it was like, I really think that that was so wise of you to not have those expectations. I have talked to a lot of folks, you know, on the Camino, after the Camino. And I think when those expectations are sort of put forth, I mean, sometimes, so for example, for me, the Camino, before I went on it, was really going to be, it was a mourning period. It was sort of this mourning period for what I'd lost, and then a restart for what I was hopeful for the future. And I didn't really even know what that was. It was kind of a blank slate of like, what is the future for me? All these plans I had are now sort of lost. So what's next? So that was definitely, I didn't know how it would look. But I definitely had that in mind. But what was, you know, as I said, this sort of birthing of this other piece of me, this artist that had been so long sort of suppressed in a way, was the surprise. But I feel like people that walk the Camino that are open, that don't have that expectation, they'll find the unexpected thing rather than having that prescribed, here's what I'm going to find out about myself as I walk. And, you know, there might be people out there that has happened to, and bless them. But I don't think that happens for most people. I think it is that openness of like, what being just my aunt has this phrase, like, I wonder what will happen today. Like, I wonder what will happen today, and letting that be what guides you.
Fantastic. Absolutely. And so what you've kind of come to as well, both of you through your different paths, is Pilgrim Lost. And I have to say, for anyone who has not seen the website yet, it is a stunning website. I absolutely love the illustrations on there. It is very, very beautiful.
Thank you.
It's all Kari.
So definitely have a look at that. And it's full of amazing stories. And some of them are more tangentially connected to the Camino, right, or a pilgrimage. And some of them are very much a story of a person on who's done a journey and what they've discovered. So how did you come to be making a podcast? You're now in your second season, which is a lot of episodes. How did that journey unfold?
I'll let Tony speak to that.
So when I returned from Spain, I was actually convinced I would never go back. Like, I thought this was a one-time experience. This is a great adventure. And as a one-time experience, I no longer feel that way. Now I'm like screaming at COVID, let me back, let me go. But when I returned, I was addicted to walking. I just loved it. The meditative experience, the rhythm that my body had become so used to and really was longing for, you know, it's like, so I was just out, and I would just go for long walks every day, 5-10 miles a day. And one day I was out walking, and the city of Portland has two huge rivers that run through it and all these bridges. I was walking across the Broadway Bridge over the Willamette River and the water rushing underneath. And my mind was just drifting, and I was drifting to the Camino, as so often happens. And I was sort of reveling in how great the experience was, and, you know, what is it about it? And as somebody who writes about spirituality, I was like, what is the formula? What is the thing that's going on that's so amazing? And then I concluded that the communal really isn't fair because it's so dependent upon privilege. To find the time to be able to just walk away from a job for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks to find, particularly us on the West Coast of the United States, it's a pretty penny to get there and to fund it, to have the sorts of relationships that will let you go, you know, a boss that will let you go, a life partner that will let you go, you know, to have that kind of privilege. And that I was given that sort of privilege to go to Spain for over a month. And I thought, but at the same time, I'm convinced that the Camino was transformative. And everyone I've talked to who's also gone has expressed a transformative experience. So how can there be a transformative experience that is not also available to all human beings? My understanding of the divine was that God, the divine would not set up a system that was only accessible to the few. If it's something that's truly human, it must be accessible to everyone. And that thought, I actually called Kari probably the next day and said, Kari, we need to explore this, because the Camino must, the things the Camino provides for the human soul must be available to everyone. Let's do an exploration of that. And I think you immediately agreed. I mean, I don't even think
I did.
You thought about it.
Well, the only way I thought about it was just like the idea was so powerful. I didn't even know if we would find an answer, honestly.
Right.
And but the conversation was, to me, was incredibly interesting. I thought, oh, we have to talk about this. Yeah.
So the first season, the Pilgrim Lost is inspired by the Camino de Santiago, but focused on the everyday. Focused on the vulgar, the everyday, the common. Like, that's where our focus is. So the first season, what we did is we took these themes that we found so transformative on the Camino, and then we asked the question, what would that theme look like if we did it back home in Portland, Oregon? You know, or wherever one lives, you know, small town America or wherever they live across the world, like how could we apply that here? So we would talk about this sort of inspiration in art, and then how can we bring that home and have sort of this art pilgrimage as part of every day, this sensation of health and body movement and rhythms of the body. How can we bring those ideas back and live it in sort of the everyday? And, you know, we just took each of these themes and we just tried to talk it through, and then we would find experts from our world, you know, in each of those fields who could speak to those things. And then now in season two, we're doing life as a pilgrimage. So how do we see the pilgrim arc that everyone sort of tends to go to, this experience of mystery into elation and expectation and hope, into first steps into the pain of when you go and you go, oh my gosh, this is too hard, I may never make it, and then the sorrow that one finds there, and then the walking out, and then the going through the endless days and when we're uninspired, and then the moving towards the elation of arrival. You know, those things happen when through the process of birth, they happen through the process of relationship, they happen through the process of artistic discovery, they happen through the process of starting a business. You know, these things we all get to experience pilgrimage all the time, but sometimes we don't stop to assess the fact that these things that we're going through are actually things that the divine provided for us, because they are the steps of life. So that's what we're doing.
Wow. Yeah. And I've listened to quite a few of your episodes, and that explanation actually really does ring true for so many of those stories. It's every episode is a journey. Every episode is an exploration, and it sort of starts in one place. And a few of them kind of ended in quite different places to what I was expecting, but they're all very interesting stories and very interesting thought journeys, I guess.
Great. Good job, Kari.
Well, we do really enjoy the spontaneous conversation. You know, we have an idea of what we want to talk about, but we really want it to have that spontaneous surprise element that we can end up in a completely different spot than we started out. And sometimes, you know, I really, because I haven't been able to go back on the Camino as much as, you know, Tony has been twice this year, had planned to go and, you know, delayed it. And I would love to go back. You know, all of us, every single pilgrim, you know, I mean, I notice on the feeds that, you know, on Facebook, one pilgrim arrived in Santiago today. There's a feed that I follow, and which just blows your mind, right? After arriving with hundreds and hundreds of people. But this, it seems like every single pilgrim just has this heart, this connection point to what's going on in the Camino. And so even though we can't travel, and we're all, you know, whether it would have been last year and you didn't have the money or you didn't have the time or you didn't have that privilege of being given that permission to go, we all are connected in that way. And so I think even this year has been more powerful for us to say, how can we do these things in our own home, in our own community, with our own families? And hopefully, you know, in the next year that things will open up. But regardless, if you are able to go all the time or you've never been able to go, as Tony said, these things should be things that we can all engage in. And they're not easy. We talk a lot. Part of the reason that we called ourselves Pilgrim Lost, not like Pilgrim Found, because we this idea of arrival is so, we haven't arrived. We're struggling toward it. We're moving towards that space of being more fulfilled, complete, and you know, human beings in the space where we're never going to arrive. We're never going to have that moment where we walk into the plaza, but we can move towards it. And these are the baby steps that we do. And sometimes we succeed, and a lot of times we fail. And talking about that and being realistic about that on our podcast is really important.
Absolutely. And we all are hoping so much that we will be able to get physically back there. But it's also amazing to see the journeys that people are going on kind of processing, I guess, the grief of not being able to do the things that they wanted to do this year, of not being able to see the family they wanted to see. And one of the interesting things that we've seen quite a few times is the idea of like a virtual Camino or a 30-day challenge of some kind, 30 days of yoga rather than 30 days of walking. And I think that all plays into the similar idea of the long-term sort of journey towards something, the movement, the requirement for something that you're building towards and something consistent and meditative throughout your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we, under COVID, it's been an interesting experience to be doing a pilgriming podcast.
Yeah.
And so much of it has been about, so one of the beauties of the Camino, so here's a how do we bring the Camino back into our everyday life? One of the real beauty, one of the gifts of the Camino, one of the things we look back at the Camino and go, I'm so thankful for that, is the experience of limitation. I only have what can fit in a backpack. I only have what I only have the hospitality of strangers to depend upon. I only have this narrow road and heading by and large west along the way. And I can't go east. West is my only real option, right? And COVID has forced us into, now we love that because we've chosen it on the Camino. Like we've chosen, I'm gonna accept limitation because I can handle limitation for 40 days, you know, or whatever. I'm gonna go and step into this thing because I know on day 41, I'm gonna get out of it. Now in COVID, limitation has been forced upon us. And yet the transformative benefits of limitation are still present just because we didn't choose it. Matter of fact, it might be more present if we can embrace it. If we can dare to ask the question, what might this experience have for me? What might the universe be providing me, not just taking from me within the midst of this limitation? And so we've been having lots of conversations about what would it look like? What would it look like? Since my life is limited and since I sort of have time and space I didn't have before, to kind of, what would it look like to begin to build some disciplines into my life that I always said I wanted to have? I always said I wanted these things to be true of my life. If that's, I want to read more, or I want to walk more, or I want to work on my art, or I want to learn to play the piano, or I want to work on my cooking ability, or whatever. Like these things that we always said we wanted to have disciplines in our lives. Now the universe has gone, here's some time to do it because you can't go to the mall and you can't go to the movie theater. So why don't you do these things you always said you wanted to do, or these parts of your life that you want to develop? Why don't you try those for a while? And so that's part of what we've been encouraging folks.
Absolutely. Gosh, that's a very positive spin on what for so many people has been a negative time. Absolutely. So that is absolutely fantastic. And I guess that while we're still dreaming of the days when we can go and we can put ourselves into the physical Camino, those mental and spiritual journeys are still absolutely possible wherever we are. That is a wonderful note to add to this. Thank you so much, Tony. Right, so I guess we're gonna start wrapping things up now, but I wanted to ask one question, which we ask everyone who comes on the show. What are your highlights of the journey? And that can be while you were walking or since you walked the Camino. And are you planning another one? I guess you've both kind of answered the second one already, but should we start with Kari again?
I definitely think the highlight, excuse me, for me was definitely this sort of reimagining what it looked like to be an artist and how that, you know, completely led me down a different path and continues to this day. So that was definitely a highlight. It also really kickstarted this desire for travel again. I hadn't traveled. I had lived in Spain, as I had mentioned, for a year when I was in college and loved it, traveled around Europe. But I hadn't been back or really gone on an international trip, except for like, you know, 5 days to Mexico, as we do here in the West Coast, in 20 years. And so it really, really reignited the flame for travel. And for me, my favorite thing is to have my journal and my paints and to get to go. Yeah, that it really, I feel like a completely different person in that respect. So I definitely want to do another Camino. This year I've been experiencing some weird body stuff, back stuff. So it's giving hopefully time to recuperate. I really want to do the Norte. The Norte is on my list, and I know it's a tough one. So I'm also trying to convince my boyfriend to join me at some point to do that. I would love to do it. I feel like the trifecta. I mean, I say this now, I feel like doing the Frances, the Portugues, and the Norte would feel complete in some way. And maybe, who knows, maybe I'll finish that one at some point and be like, nope, got to do another one. But that's how I feel right now.
You're going to get to the end and you're going to want to do like all the major 7 routes. And then you're going to
want
to
do the next.
And then this one and then that one. It's going to be great.
Totally.
What about you, Tony?
When I went, just listening to Kari talk and my other folks I know that have walked it, I just heard about, you know, your Camino family and the long walking conversations every day with people and the lingering and by my third day on the Camino, I wanted none of it. Like, I wanted to be alone, and I'm a very extroverted person. My life is very public, but for some reason I was so drawn to the meditative, isolated experience of the Camino. Even when I would arrive in town at the albergues in the early afternoon, I would end up going off somewhere sort of by myself to sit and read or think or journal or something. And I just loved it. And I loved it so much. And one of the things I loved about it was I felt like my five senses woke up in a particularly magical way. And the appreciation of the sounds of birds or the church bells in the distance or the unbelievable diversity of green.
Mm.
Yeah. As the wind rushes across the top of the grain stalks and just, you know, just taken by all of that and loved it so much and can't wait to go back. And so, as Kari already said, I was supposed to go back this year. I turned 50 this year and I was going to go back. That was just really, it was just my excuse. It had nothing to do with being 50, but like, oh, I'm turning 50. I need to do something to commemorate. And that's a good excuse. But I want to do, I am going to do the Norte as soon as possible. So probably, hopefully next year.
Amazing. Yeah, the Norte is a whole different experience because it's just so much quieter than the Frances especially, and even quieter than the Portuguese. And there's a couple of quite long days in there that are just, you're surrounded by the absolute beauty of nothing nature, if that makes sense. There's nothing man-made, there's just what is, which is absolutely spectacular. And especially that walk along the coast is just stunning. Amazing. Well, it's very, very lovely to hear the stories of both of your journeys and the ongoing journey that you're both still on. I would absolutely encourage anyone to listen to your podcast, even if you're just dabbling your toe in the edge of Camino ideas. The idea of pilgrimage and the wider concept of pilgrimage in life is absolutely fascinating to explore, and I think you two do it very well. So thank you so much for that gift that you're giving to us. And I definitely would recommend that anyone has a listen and has a look at the website for those beautiful drawings as well.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure chatting this morning.
Wonderful. Thanks for getting lost with us. We appreciate that.
Amazing. It's been a delight. And I'll make sure that all of the links are down in the description for the website, the podcast, so everyone can check it out. And you can follow the Camino Talks and follow the Camino for more stories. Thank you so much for joining us, Kari and Tony, and have a lovely evening or morning on your side of the world.
That's right.